is whatsoever I think. So.
Yeah, and in comparison to the previous one that we had, it's not sweet. It's sweet, but it's not like crazy sweet like the previous one was.
2-row barley.
It doesn't
that
say.
That would be my bet.
Like it a lot though. Yeah.
I also wondered again too, like if this is one of their mainstays or versus one of the 3 to 5 new ones that crank out each week.
I'm betting this was an early, cornerstone beer. It feels like that eureka moment in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, oh, we got it right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the 2-row that you said is probably a good theory because it does seem to be better attenuated than the previous one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think I give them a pretty solid rating here for this.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think this is a pretty good, well-made beer, I think, is how I would describe it.
Well, we are going to rate the Yacht Juice from Icarus a 4.
Good job, Icarus. Well done. Good job,
Icky. Yeah.
Now, I thought that since we were already on the Yacht Juice, we should go to Yacht All the Time. Solero, double dry hopped IPA. So this one is 6.5% ABV, Northeast style IPA, copiously dry hop with lupulin citra, lupulin mosaic, and Columbus, double dry hop with German Solero hops. Mm. Okay, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that is. I'm not even that familiar with Solero hops. No. Have anybody looked them up? This one
I wonder if it's a hybrid of Hallertau or I don't know.
I'm ignorant too. It's from Hopsteiner, and it is a tropical fruit, mango, passion fruit. The genetic origin is Cascade times a Hopsteiner male.
Well, I think just based on the description, I think the thing that really, I was probably on guard for is this is going to be a lupulin bond. And I really just thought that it was going to be Runaway, Hop City, and you weren't going to be able to smell or taste anything for the next 20 minutes. And I'm pleasantly surprised. It's actually knocked down.
This one's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels like a missed attempt to have a lot of good balance in this.
Yeah, it's somewhere between the first two we had. It's not, I wouldn't say it's fully muddled, but it's not as bright as the last one. But you still get that contrast of the fruit against the sweetness of the beer.
I think this one still finishes pretty nice, too. I like that. Like some of those, it won't go away.
Yep.
But this one does.
Yeah, I think if I had to say what it's lacking in that balance is, I wish to actually had a bigger presentation of the hops. I really think that it's like the hops are over here and, there's this German thing that's kind of going, fruit thing that's kind of going over here on the other side, and they're just not shaking hands. Yeah.
Well, but also, the Yacht Juice was 8 and this is 6.5. So with it being dialed down a little, I guess...
It
That's
is a little
part
lighter
of
on
it.
The palate.
Right.
A little
mm-hmm.
easier
right,
drinking,
right.
And it cleans out royal.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back to rate this in just a minute. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes are here. Everyone, welcome back, and thanks for sticking with us. Today we are doing a brewery takeover of Icarus Brewing Company from Lakewood, New Jersey. And the beer that we were talking about right before the break was Yacht All the Time Solero Double Dry Hopped IPA. And we were just talking about how it's a little bit more dialed down than the yacht juice that we had right before that. And any other last minute thoughts on it?
Well, given the choice, I would totally go for the yacht juice all day long.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yep.
No contest. This would be a beer I'd probably have a taste of and go, next.
Well, and I wonder if this is a series, too, or something, like Yacht All the Time, Solero, like if there's Yacht All the Time, you know, whatever, Mosaic or.
And also the dry hop just doesn't pop for me. Yeah. I mean, I look for a little bit more on the nose.
Sometimes I feel dry hopping is overrated.
Yep.
Like, because different people dry hop for different amounts of time. They use different quantities. So it's like, you know, for some beers, it may like make all the difference. It may make a lackluster beer shine. But for other beers, maybe you don't even really know the difference.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. What do you think?
Yeah. I like it for what it is. But again, given the option of having the yacht juice versus this one, I'm going to go with the yacht juice. You know,
agreed with Mike.
Yacht All the Time would not pair well with NyQuil chicken.
No, probably. No, probably not. Probably not. Okay, so we will be rating the Yacht All the Time Solera a 3. Okay, so the next one we're going to talk about is Drinking Crayons. And when I saw this, I was like, really?
That is a very unusual name.
It's a gray name.
I knew a girl in kindergarten who ate crayons.
Yes.
And sure. She is the only person I've ever known who failed kindergarten. I'm not saying there's a direct correlation.
Becky was really pleasant up until the point that she ate the sky blue crayon.
Started eating the crayons and then, you know.
You know what? I think that was the girl that started the NyQuil chicken craze.
Could be.
I think that was what, you know. Look, you have to go somewhere after consuming the crayon.
Pretty
sure there's nowhere to go but up or sideways.
She probably wasn't going to the bathroom. I'm pretty sure she was backed up.
Oh.
All that wax, dude.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't pass wax.
All right.
And what color would that be in the crayon box?
It all ends up as gray or, well, I guess brown in this case.
Sepia.
So,
yeah.
Juliana, are you thinking to the pre-op questionnaire that you guys need to add, you know, some questions going, when was the last time you consumed NyQuil chicken?
Yeah.
And when was the last time you consumed crayons?
Yeah. See, that's what I'm here for, is the value add in our healthcare safety system.
I mean, I've heard of waxy buildup, but this is crazy.
Yeah. Oh.
Tony, you double pock. Bring me some NyQuil. Wow.
Okay. Oh my God. Drinking crayons, Imperial IPA, folks. 7.9% ABV.
Back your theme.
Heavily weeded and oated Northeast Imperial IPA.
Say heavily weeded.
Hopped with El Dorado, Amarillo, and Columbus, and then dry hopped with Azaka, Amarillo, Columbus, and Lupulin Mosaic. Potent notes of tangerine, lemon, melon, mango, and apricot.
This just feels like, and I like, let me just start. I like this beer. I think it's got a nice, juicy hoppy flavor, but this is like, it feels like we just bought a crap load of hops and we're just going to start throwing stuff in there because we're making 3 to 5 beers a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And I get the weeded part because there isn't as much of a malt counterbalance to this, which should make the hops stand out more than they seem to.
Yeah.
You know, I think you hit on some of the 3 to 5 a week, though. There's a common theme across these beers. They're very similar. And I wonder about breweries that do this many beers. It's like, why not just pick one of your great recipes and just keep making it better?
Give me
and better
something
and better.
I want to keep coming back for.
Yeah. Because if you're coming up with new recipes every week, you're basically doing the same thing, just a little bit different variations of hops. You're still making the same beer.
Yeah.
But, okay, I'm going to play the devil here and say, but is part of that the what they're able to get?
Possibly. As a small brewery, they might not be able to contract for certain amounts. So on the spot market, they get what they can and they work with it. I can see that.
So maybe that's a part of it.
Yeah, it's probably part of it.
I mean, I think in the last few, episodes that we've done, we've noticed like variations on a theme, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, of hops. So maybe that is a big part of it.
And it could be, and maybe they just phrased it as a selling point of what they do, you know, instead of saying like, look, we can only get what we can get. But either way, when you do 3 to 5 beers a week, at least one or two of them are not going to work, you know?
Yeah. I really like Dave's description of what was going down. This really does feel like they started with this base beer that they, you know, make a ton of it all day long.
Yeah.
And it's like a giant, you know, bold experiment in, you know, hops. The going, you know, well, let's just throw this in there and that in there, and let's see if it survives on tap for more than 1 week.
Sure. Yeah.
And then yeah. and then repeat and rinse, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if you're one of the few breweries in Lakewood and you're getting a lot of, I mean, the thing about the Jersey Shore for the summer is it's not just people from New Jersey that are coming there to the shore,
sure.
you know, that are coming from inland and going to the coast, but you're getting it from all over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you may not know all the taste profiles of people that are coming in, so you're trying to offer something for everyone.
Yeah. I think they should have called this the Lazy Brewer Special. I'm sorry, but that's what it smacks, you know, for me.
Yeah. What do you think about it, Juliana? This flavor profile on this one.
Next.
It's a
rude.
I feel like there's Pledge competing with apricot. Like, I taste the apricot and I want to taste more of it because an apricot that's really well done, I really enjoy in a beer, but I'm getting a lot of lemon and it's just not
sweet lemon.
Yeah. And yeah. it's not balanced it's not for me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I wonder staring at all the fruit in the, yeah. in the basket, but they're just not harmony.
Well, I wonder if you have to think about if you're going to wheat a beer, like if you're heavily wheated and noted, okay, that's going to add a lot of sugar, you know, and sweetness to it.
Sure.
And then if you use hops where their profile leads you more to a sweeter, fruitier thing, you're pushing everything in one direction and you're not creating the balance.
Yeah.
I like this beer. I think it tastes pretty good, but it could have more dimensions to it.
One thing that, and I may be completely in left field, won't be the first time, but as I read through this menu of beers, and especially this particular one, you know, of it being drinking crayons, to what extent is this something that you concoct for the visual appeal on a can? I mean, if things are going out, so the art department may be directing. Yeah, there you go.
It's a great looking can.
It is. It's a great looking can. So there you go.
But in a way, I think this makes sense because there is so much going on and so much competition. I mean, all of these colors, if you bleed them all or you know, you heat them all up, it's going to end up being one color. And we know it's going to end up being black at the end. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a lot of competing flavors.
So if you're looking, you know, into a beer case and you see that, you drink with your eyes before you actually drink the beer.
Sure. Sure. So maybe seeing this and knowing that this is sort of out there in the spectrum that, well, you're going to get out there in the spectrum. I don't know. Well, we are going to rate drinking crayons a 2. Mm. Okay, we got time for a bonus. So we're going to talk about...
Oh, let's talk about the NyQuil chicken some more. Mm. I love Kendall's. Kendall's opening salvo question was, what was the conversation like? Who was the first person to do that?
Yeah. What? Why?
Who, I think who they made that last beer.
Yeah. You know, I just can't imagine. Like, okay, let's get some random over-the-counter drugs and put food in it.
Yo, Bobby, come in here. Look at this.
Well, okay.
And what should be the song or the soundtrack behind eating?
There you go.
NyQuil chicken.
See, Juliana's thinking hard and fast about that. She's like, well, which Molly Hatchet song, you know?
I'm thinking Comfortably Numb.
Yeah, myself. I'm thinking I'm thinking of some Floyd or some non-worded prog rock because...
It's one thing to have good beer pairing, but music pairing with NyQuil chicken is really important.
There's such a thing as non-worded prog rock.
Yeah, there is.
So they run out of old British ladies to scream over the...
See me.
Okay, that's the Who. They weren't prog rock.
No, they were not prog rock.
You know, you just don't have taste.
Except in women.
Yeah. They said we were the first band to throw up at the bar and found the distance to the stage too far.
Wow. I just wonder how, you know, people are talking with their friends going, so what'd you do last night? Well, we sat around, we made some NyQuil chicken. I mean, you know, it's like, what were you watching? You know,
because it was on TikTok.
Is there a really good Netflix series that you would be watching that would pair well with NyQuil chicken? You know?
Yeah, it's the only safe alternative to cooking meth.
Are you sure about that?
And I heard everybody in South Dakota go, yes!
Well, okay, but you know what? That's not that far off because, like, if you think about, like, how people cook meth, and I've never done it, okay?
You've just heard.
But didn't they have to start somewhere? Banning people from buying too much, like, pseudoephedrine or whatever?
Yes.
Yes.
Because they were going to buy.
Are you saying that I'm going to have to show my driver's license to buy NyQuil?
Well,
if you get to that point.
Buy NyQuil and chicken at the same time. Yeah.
Can you see the state legislature hearing, Senator, we have a serious problem within our population. We've got to stop this NyQuil chicken. You know?
It's expired and gone to see its maker.
There you go. That's it. Yeah. We're going to have expert testimony. I cook NyQuil chicken 14 days a week, and my brain cells are
fine.
Almost. I'm sorry. Why was I here again? You know, it's like.
All right.
Well, you know, in Tennessee, we had the roadkill bill, so you could have the NyQuil bill.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. NyQuil roadkill.
I feel everybody in Arkansas going, finally, we made the map.
Wow.
You know, I could not figure out a way to make possum that I ran over my truck in a way I enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
We need to drink a beer.
Everybody have some Cosby chicken and let's talk later.
Gosh. Okay, let's talk about our bonus beer, which is First Leap Double Dry Hop Imperial IPA. 8.5% ABV, heavily weeded and oated Northeast Imperial IPA with Tahiki Zeus hops, then copiously dry hopped with New Zealand Green Bullet, Tahiki, Matuka, Lupulin Mosaic, and Zeus. Double dry hop with Nelson Sauvin. You know, I gotta say, I'm a fan of people using Nelson Sauvin outside of saisons.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm noticing that it's like more and more coming into the IPA pale ale, and I'm like, I'm here for it with the burp.
Apparently, Mike appreciated it as well. I think.
You know, what can I say? I like any beer where you get to say the word Tahiki. This is interesting. So same base beer. This is the continuity of the theme where we play dial up a hop profile. You know, come on down. It's Thursday at 1 o'clock. Just throw crap in the boil tank. Whatever. It's going to happen here. It is definitely the continuity of that theme.
Sure. But I'm kind of a fan of this one.
It's like
better than the last one.
Yeah, it's better than the last one.
Yep.
But it's that same central theme that they've got running through, which is throw a bunch of hops in it, which they do use the word copiously a lot. So I think that's just their brewing philosophy.
They're otherwise not as,
what
light
do we have left over in the back kitchen, you know?
Well, this is New Jersey, so they only know that many words.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I took a shot.
Wow. Yeah, it's kind of the kitchen sink approach here.
Cool. I've made a full-blown class action lawsuit.
It's gynemonosaurus.
But overall, I don't see a lot of variety between these beers, except for the West Coast. The other five are all very similar.
Yeah, that seems to be a pattern with some breweries that we could talk about.
But we won't. I won't say the name Southern Grist.
This sounds like a sweet citrus, you know, kind of thing going on. So it still has that lemony, you know, thing, but the sugars around this are about, you know, more Meyer lemon. You're stepping into like Tangelo's, you know, what this reminds me of.
I knew a girl named Tangelo once.
did she, you think she did the NyQuil chicken challenge?
She was
juicy.
Juicy, yeah.
Wow.
That was way long ago in my past.
Yeah. Whereas the previous one had the apricot and the lemon, like almost pledgy. This one is like candied orange zest almost or something like that. That reminds me of like, you know, of a treat.
That's a good, that's a good way to describe
this.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are going to rate the First Leap Double Dry Hopped Imperial IPA from Icarus Brewing a 3.
A lot of big beers.
That's the trend.
Yeah.
Big and juicy.
That's how you know you're getting value. You're getting more ABV in your can.
This is a very interesting trend, though, you know, for sure. Just when you thought we would not see, you know, 40 breweries all do the same thing, boom, there you go.
Always.
Well, you got to go with what you can sell. And yeah. This is what people want. I think overall, I like Icarus.
Yeah.
You know,
I could just definitely handle a flight like this. Yeah, for sure.
But I think of these six, one of the two standouts for me was the West Coast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is weird.
Yeah. Which is saying something, isn't it?
There's room for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for today. Yeah, not bad, right?
No,
interesting flight.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, interesting flight. Good boy, Kendall. Thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure as always.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Cool. Good old boy, Mike. Thanks for being here with
us. Hey, thanks for joining us this week. Come back and enjoy another great episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I will ask you
want to be daddy? Said it? You want to wear the daddy pants?
Please keep on sipping.
Reverend Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me here. Love it.
Good old boy, Dave.
Bye.
This is good old gal Juliana. Thanks for joining us again. Keep on chugging, and we'll catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
On campus, the SOCA organization, along with members of the community, opened Black History Month with a ceremony that included explaining what has led up to now.
I'm going to speak quickly about Black History Month in Canada from 1960s to the present. Black people face discrimination in Canada in housing, employment, and access to public services. Many restaurants, hotels, and movie theaters refuse to admit and serve Black Canadians. In 1967, Canadian immigration policies changed. Immigrants were accessed in terms of education, skills, and employment prospects, regardless of race, ethnicity, or nationality. Racial discrimination has been illegal in Canada for many years. However, many people argue that systemic racism continues. Also known as institutional racism in social and political institutions. This includes continued harsh stereotyping of Black communities and resistance to include Black history within the Canadian history in educational curriculums. Harmful practices such as policing, like racial profiling, police carding, as well as underrepresentation and inclusion in political sectors and in senior business positions. Statistically, Black Canadians are more likely to be unemployed, have a lower average income than other Canadians. They're also more likely than any other racialized minority to be the victims of hate crime. Black Canadians and other allies continue to challenge racism and inequality in Canada through legal challenges, social media campaigns, protests, and movements like the Black Lives Matter. With all these unfair treatments of members of the Black community, our theme for Black History Month this year of Black resistance finds its importance.
At CGSF, we are taking the opportunity to celebrate Black History Month and acknowledge why it is important to do so.
listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's campus community radio station, located at the beautiful north end of Burnaby, BC. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and SoundCloud, or visit us at our website at www.cjsf.ca. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.